Join us WrestleMania weekend for the Internet Darlings live event featuring your favorite wrestling YouTubers. The link is in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are going in SmackDown Live. Who needs Raw?
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. And anywhere and everywhere fine podcasts are available, including Podbean, Stitcher, Google Play, iHeartRadio, iHeartPlay, iHeartSoundCloud.com/Steven Larson.
And maybe Spotify someday.
And on iTunes, where if you guys hit that subscribe or download button, leave us a rating, a ranking, a review, we'll give you our sincerest of thanks.
Yes.
Because that only helps the show. It gives us more exposure. And
it boosts us up the rankings, right?
The sports and rec rankings on iTunes really helps us out. So even if you guys are watching here on YouTube, if you guys can pick up your little smartphones, your iOS devices, go over to the podcast app on the iTunes or the podcast app on your iOS device, and then hit subscribe.
Yes, please.
Going In Raw.
We're on Patreon too.
Patreon.com/Steven Larson. And we're at the
Pro Wrestling Tees.com/Going In Raw.
And I noticed that you got the Slapnut shirt on today. I like that you're covering it up with your laptop, too. That was good. There you go.
Is that better?
Listen up, Slapnuts.
I wore it yesterday.
That dude's going to be all over TNA coming up, man.
I know.
He is firmly putting his Slapnut stamp on. Impact. It's just Impact Wrestling.
Yeah, it's not TNA anymore,
it's not
Steve.
TNA anymore, dude.
I got to be honest with you. I feel like the punitive aspect of the shirt is wearing off somewhat. Like, I don't mind wearing it.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-mm.
Like, out of irony or something?
I mean, it's mostly because it's just a comfortable shirt. We should have got the stiffer cotton one, so it's, like, literally uncomfortable.
No, I don't want to do that, because then that'll affect performance. No, I like the Slapnut shirt. I'm good with the Slapnut shirt, largely because I haven't had to wear it yet. I wore it one time.
I'm not even...
One day.
It's not a huge deal for me anymore.
What if we did a Vince... Well, I don't want to put, like, a shirt that you hate on you. Like, I don't want you to wear, like, a Vince Russo shirt.
Yeah, that's taking things too far.
That is taking... Exactly. So maybe we can find a different, like, another way. I would say that a Scott Steiner shirt, but that Scott Steiner shirt is literally, who I forget which friendo sent that to us.
Oh, yeah.
That is the most comfortable shirt I've ever had in my life. And I looked at it, it's like a Hanes Comfort Soft.
Yeah.
It's like the cheapest shirt you can get. So I'm like, man, if I ever do, like, a custom run of shirts.
Yeah, Hanes Custom Soft.
I think something like
Remember that.
Comfort Soft.
Remember that.
Something like that. Anyways, we've got, you mentioned sort of in a throwaway line, or I mentioned, you mentioned that we're on the Patreon. We've
yeah,
got 60,
I did.
62 friendos watching right now, talking about stuff in chat. Want to say thank you to everybody for participating in our Patreon. You guys can kick in money and help make the show better.
Do you have our new pledges?
I'm about
ready to
do
read
that.
Off
that. I'm about to do that right now. Every week, as a lot of you people know, I read off the new pledges, the people who are putting in new money into the Patreon, or if they dropped out and decided to come back, there's, you know, old money.
Old money, yeah.
I guess. So I'm going to do that right now, going back to last Tuesday. All these people are new patrons. Dylan Superkick Scribner, Dan Six, Stratos Q, the CV Gun 123, Andrew Mullen, Kevin Alexander, Andy Dardenis, Daniel Luna, Daniel, Eric Brown. What are the odds that two Daniels would back to back put these pledges in?
Daniel's a pretty common name.
Eric Brown, so you're saying hi.
Higher than you would probably think.
Well, John, I think, would be the highest.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. Eric Brown, Eldon Spearing, Connor Dunmore, Ben, Naden Verbanov, El Negativo, Ernesto Rivas, Michael Flowers, Andrea Knutson, or Andrea Knutson, Fart Noises, Sam Wines, Don Martin, Maverick, Richard William Sargent, Ryan Collinson, Zach Butts, Brandon Fernandez, Austin Savell, Millin' About Champion Victor, the King of Saunter Style Vaughn. And finally, Marcial Javier MJ Santana. All kicked in money.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. You guys can enjoy the live show, that we do every Tuesday, or you can get the comic book is finished. With the exception of like the front cover and the back cover.
It's not finished.
I'm probably going to like just I'll put like the RIP Ulysses thing on the back cover or something like that.
Okay.
Then I want to do like a mini poster. Listen to this idea for the, so there's a Friendo care package at the $20 yes. Patreon
yes,
tier.
Yes, we have stickers. We have the stickers done.
I'm thinking that the stickers are ready to go. Those bastards are fucking ready to go.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of doing this. I have two questions for you. Mm-hmm. Before we get, we're going to get to Raw in a second.
Yeah. Give us like 2 minutes.
I'd like to do a poster, like a little mini 11 by 17 poster.
Yes.
On one side, Fun Wrestling. On the other side, WSTW. So they have to choose.
Okay, that's good.
What they're going to put up. Is that fucked up?
No.
Because it's like, what if they like both?
But here's also the thing. You can look at it that way. Like, it's a competitive thing. Mm-hmm. Also, they get two posters. It's two posters.
Yeah, I mean, they could switch them depending,
best value.
Depending on the season or depending on who's doing better in the ratings.
It's best value. So I'm all for that.
No space left untouched.
Exactly.
And then number two, so I was asked the other day at the, we're going to be at the, if you guys are going to be in town in Orlando for Mania.
Yes.
We're going to be at this Internet Darlings live show.
Yes.
And it's just us and a bunch of other wrestling YouTubers, Brian Zane, one of the Adams from What Culture. Grimm's going to be there. JD from New York. NY is going to be there.
Yes.
It's going to be a lot of fun. It's a live show. Tickets, I think, are still available.
There's a link in the description.
There's a link in the description. You can check it out. My question for you is, so I was asked if we're going to bring anything to sell. And I said no, but I was thinking of bringing postcards.
Okay.
That people, we just give out.
So yeah.
And like put our little John Henrys on there if they want that.
You mean John Hancock's?
John, what's John? Who's John Henry? John Hancock's. I've been saying that wrong for a while.
Yeah.
What an idiot.
Well.
Anyways, what should I put on the, what should we put on the postcard? Should that be a double side WSTW Fun Wrestling?
Yes. Best value.
Well, yeah, it should be double sided. So we have to think of two things to put on the postcard. Anyways, let's talk about Raw.
Raw! I found Raw to be, I won't say far more enjoyable, but more enjoyable than Fastlane.
It was infinitely more enjoyable than Fastlane.
It was a lot more
enjoyable.
It was
a goddamn good Raw.
It was a pretty good Raw.
It was a good Raw. I was very, very impressed. Not terribly surprised. I wonder if somebody got reamed for like the booking on Fastlane.
Well, I mean, the Fastlane set the bar pretty low in terms of wrestling entertainment.
Yeah, but this was a good one.
It was a good Raw.
It's funny. It's like whenever they go into a Mark territory or into a Smart territory, into like Chicago or Philly or something like that, even New York to a degree, and then especially Chicago, though, because Chicago fucking hates McMahons.
Yeah.
Because of CM Punk.
Yeah.
So you know they've got those CM Punk chants loaded and ready to go. So they do the smartest thing possible. Open it with Jericho.
Yeah.
Because nobody's going to CM Punk Jericho. Nope. Nobody's going to do that.
Nope.
They took a couple different measures throughout the show to mitigate the CM Punk chance.
They did.
Yeah. Number one, bringing Jericho out, who cut. Now he's obviously this face turn, most over dude in the company.
Yeah.
Definitely most over dude in the company. So he comes out, cuts a good promo.
Yeah, he calls out Kevin Owens and mm-hmm. wants to know why.
And wants to know why you did it.
So Kevin Owens comes out, mm-hmm. explains why, saying, oh, you were just a tool for me to exploit to keep the belt, essentially.
Do you like that motivation?
No.
Really?
No.
Interesting. Tell me why.
It seems pretty predictable, and it makes Kevin Owens look weak.
Yeah.
Like he knows, okay, I have this belt. I don't know if I can keep it myself.
Yeah.
So I need someone to help me. Mm-hmm. Here's what I thought.
Okay.
What if Kevin Owens said, yeah, you were my best friend, but I found that I needed help to win matches. And remember Kevin Owens when he showed up in NXT? He took what he wanted.
Yeah.
Remember when Kevin Owens showed up in WWE? I took what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
That's who Kevin Owens needs to be successful.
Yeah.
And you were a liability to that.
Yeah.
Imagine if he had done that. It would have added layers. Like yeah. he still wasn't happy about having to do it, but he knew that's what he had to do.
Too much of a face thing, dude. I don't like that.
For Owens?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Saying, I want to start winning clean?
No. Saying, I want to dominate.
Yeah.
I want to take what I want.
But he has. He has the Universal Championship.
No, he doesn't. Not now.
Well, not now because he got rid of Jericho.
Yeah.
So how does that prove his point out? A lot of good that did.
No, I know. But I mean, like,
that didn't do anything for you.
I'm just trying to think of an idea that would add some more complexity to the story than yeah, I just used you.
You know what? I'm okay with it because of the way it was executed. I thought that saying you're a tool is such a heel thing to do.
Yeah.
Like got like a crowd that usually would be behind Owens. It gave him heel heat. It was good heel heat.
No, I understand. It's just good heel heat. This isn't that interesting to me.
I mean, dude, I agree in concept, especially given that Triple H pulled him aside. You know what I mean? It's like, well, okay, well then why? But I thought it was executed well.
Yeah, I mean, they did the best with what they had to work with.
Yeah. So that set up a match at WrestleMania. Owens then said...
Here's another thought I had. You know, I've been really down on the fact that Owens didn't get to hold the Universal title to Mania.
Yeah, which I'm more okay with now, to be honest. After last night, I'm more okay with it.
But then I had to think about it last night. Assuming Lesnar wins the belt at Mania, he's not going to be on the show hardly at all. The U.S. title is going to be the top belt on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
And the odds are pretty good that Kevin Owens is going to have that belt, if not after Mania, after Payback.
Yeah.
So Kevin Owens will still be more or less the top champion on Raw.
So you've been saying, here's the thing, you've been saying the Universal title is what Owens and Jericho need to be feuding at.
Well, I thought they should.
Yeah.
Because for so long they were saying we were the Universal Championship. That belt was so important to their story.
Yeah, I know.
It seemed like it would make sense for them to fight over it in the end.
I don't know, man. I'm after last night, I'm totally okay with how everything went down, especially like Goldberg-Lesnar. What would be, because you were kind of anti that. What are they fighting over if they don't have that title on the line? Lesnar.
Well, I mean, I know what Lesnar's fighting for. He's fighting to get a win over the guy he never was able to beat.
I made this point before. Then it would still be Goldberg 2-1. You need that. No, that title means at least.
I know it's. I know. I know.
And it looks good. It looks good out there. I'm okay with it. I'm okay. Are you okay with it?
I never had a huge problem with it. I just had a preference. My preference was Owens Jericho. For the
I don't have a huge problem with it. And I think that the U.S. title has been built up so well. And now with Jericho, them fighting over it, especially with Kevin Owens saying, you essentially took my title away from me.
So I'm going to take yours. Yeah.
I like that because it makes the belt a personal object. And I think that the levels of what the belts mean, like the Universal title being, you know, the top belt, I think that sort of is taken out of the equation. And mm-hmm. It's more of a grudge match over property.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm okay with it.
I still don't want Lesnar Goldberg to go on last at Mania, though.
I agree with you completely.
Because it's not 100%. It's not going to be a good match.
And I think tonight's SmackDown is going to be good. I think we're going to get some shit that we wanted fleshed out. I just wish it was in a different order.
Yeah.
But I think we're going to get that tonight. I agree with you. I don't know. I wonder if they even know if it's going to be the actual
They
main
must
event.
Have some inclination because I keep saying this. They've been saying ever since like 2 weeks before the Rumble, whoever wins the Rumble, main events, mm-hmm. WrestleMania. Maybe I'm thinking too much about it, looking too much into it. But the fact they keep on saying that over and over and over mm-hmm. and over just leads me to believe that that's going to be the main event.
Yeah. Do you think they learned their lesson from the whole Charlotte, Sasha Banks, Hell in a Cell thing? In that when you say main event, you need to make it the main event.
Because
they had
so.
Triple main event. It's like, two of those aren't going to be the main event.
And one of the triple main event was the first match.
Yeah, exactly.
The Reigns-Rusev Hell in a Cell match.
So that brought out Samoa Joe. Here's the problem that I have, and I know you have a big problem with this. Why is Samoa Joe coming out again?
I know.
You know what I mean?
I know.
Like, even Michael Cole yelled something like, we've been speculating about this, what the relationship is between these
guys. I've never heard any speculation from anybody apart from that speculation right there.
Exactly.
Like, if they're going to have a faction.
A retcon in this shit.
If they're going to have a faction, give us the reveal.
Mm-hmm.
We want that reveal where they beat the hell out of somebody and stand tall to end the show.
Right.
We need that. We need to feel the impact of those three wrestlers aligning together to dominate Raw.
Yeah,
we need that.
I know.
Instead of just kind of teasing it for weeks on end. Like, what? Are they going to finally reveal themselves at Mania? At that point, it's anticlimactic because everybody knows.
There's really no. I don't think they can really. There's no like reveal at this point. You know.
No, I know.
It's such a missed opportunity.
I know.
Because you like seeing that visual. You know.
Yeah.
You need that for a thumbnail.
Yeah. Exactly. No, the pop views.
I know. I totally get it. They need to get those 30,000 YouTube views on WWE.com. Anyways, and then Sami Zayn comes out because he just got his ass handed to him by Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
And that led directly to Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn.
I was kind of disappointed we didn't get a tag match.
Teddy Long didn't come out, man. I know. What is with you in tag matches?
But I'm guessing that's a tag match we're going to see at some point between now and Mania. Anyways.
No, I want to see that. I'd rather see that at Mania.
You want that to be the main event of Mania?
Yes,
Owens,
I do.
Joe versus
the
Jericho.
Main event, exactly.
Jericho
and
Sami Zayn.
Last match goes on. So Owens versus Zayn, seen this a million times. I always like when these guys have a match because they could do the sleeping. But once again, Sami Zayn proved out his gimmick of terrible wrestler.
Losing wrestler.
Awful
I like
wrestler.
I like that Owens is kicking up the intensity back to debut era Rowan or Owens.
Yeah, I know. Me too. I like when he kicks it up to debut Rowan as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I like that. You know, got the win with a pop up powerbomb. I think that's two of them. Yeah, he got two of them.
He did two of them.
A clean win. Good decisive victory for Kevin Owens.
Yes.
And that set up the main event, which was Samoa Joe versus Chris Jericho.
It was kind of the main event. It was the last match.
It was. Oh yeah. I mean, do you consider segments main events? Kind of sometimes.
Whatever closes the show is main event.
What doesn't matter what it is.
Nope. Contract signing, main event.
Oh man. Then we had a championship match. Neville versus Rich Swann.
Good match.
Yeah, it was really good.
It was really good.
They're like letting them do stuff.
I know.
They're listening to us, Larson.
I hope so.
Listening to us. Yeah, that was a hell of a match. Although Neville did win. And it was a fun like end to it too. Rich Swann missed his whatever it is when he
The Phoenix splash.
Yeah, there you go.
He did. Splash. And then Neville tried to pin him. Swann kicked out. Neville transitioned to the Rings of Saturn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a good finish.
Got the win. And then my favorite part of the night. Oh, this was so good.
Oh, yeah.
This was so good, man. I loved it. Oh, I loved it. Just thinking about it, I fucking loved it. I loved it. And it's so funny, man. You guys can go back and listen to this show back before like they started bringing all these TNA guys, and you can hear Asshole Steve be like, they just bring in these guys.
I know.
Now I'm like, oh, I'm a fucking mark for the old TNA guys. Fucking Austin Aries gets in there to interview Rich Swann. Did you think, let me ask you something. Because the crowd seemed to play such a pivotal part of this segment.
Oh, yeah, they did.
Because they instigated Austin Aries.
Well, they were chanting Austin Aries during the match.
He gets... Oh, I didn't notice that part. Yeah, oh, yeah. That's good. That's good. So anyways, he gets in there. Sorry, mic problem. He gets in there to interview Neville, and Neville says, there's no more competition. I'm the king of the cruiserweights. And the crowd, number one, before he even started, I guess during the match, but then when Austin Aries gets in there, they start chanting Austin Aries clear as day, as loud as they could,
yeah,
with so much passion. Austin Aries says, really? I think that these people disagree with you.
Yeah.
I wonder if they had like a plan B in case the crowd, like there's no guarantee they're going to be chanting for him.
Oh, I know. I just think Austin Aries is a professional, is really good on his feet.
I think you're right about that. I think Neville is too. I think they're both really good at that. And so, Neville, the thing that I love about it is that Neville wasn't even considering Austin Aries as anything but the guy with the microphone.
Yeah.
Like he could just be Byron Saxon for all he knows.
Yeah.
And when Austin Aries says that, then Neville locks in on him as a potential opponent and says, you're just a commentator. Why do you even think that you're on my level?
Yeah.
And then Austin Aries steps back and says, okay, well, I've got another question for you. It's less of a question and more of a statement. It fucking levels Neville.
Yeah, and then takes his shirt off.
Oh, I fucking loved it, man. Great. It was so good. It was so fucking good. And this is just one of our questions on the I noticed on the Patreon today. Was asking about Austin Aries and his place. Do we feel that 205 Live is not, you know, he's too good for it? I'm like, no, this is how you build 205 Live.
Yep.
By bringing in big names like this. I hope Hideo Itami's next.
Yeah.
Because I want 205 Live to be something that I'm really
excited to watch.
Excited to talk about on our recap show.
And if they continue to let them, the Cruiserweights, do what they do best in the ring,
mm-hmm,
and then add some interesting stories to that mix,
mm-hmm,
it could be a really compelling, entertaining show.
Number one thing, though, is those matches, dude.
Yeah.
Because if people are buzzing about the matches, the level of wrestling that you're seeing, then they'll follow whatever stupid-ass story you put. You could put the bare-bones story on there. I mean, that's how, like, I was watching the... Oh, I got the. I listened to a lot of you guys that were on Twitter.
Got the
Fight app.
Yeah.
And it's crystal clear HD. Just going from my phone straight into my Chromecast. And
cool.
I watched it. So yesterday ran it at like 4 o'clock Pacific time.
Yeah.
It's good stuff, man. I got to see the Kazarian doing the NWO shit.
Bullet Club
stuff. Yeah.
Bullet Club.
Yeah. Anyways, he was NWO Wolfpack. It was good. Anyways, it was a good pre-show for Raw.
Yeah. Okay.
That was actually really cool. It was cool because they got some lumps on there too. Like Ring of Honor, they're not grade A top down.
Oh, I know.
Which I love. I love watching lumps, man. Lumps
yeah.
are great. Anyways, Austin Aries, double A.
A double.
Sorry. Not a lump.
No.
He is top notch.
Very much so.
Really looking forward. We're going to get to see him versus Neville, man.
I know.
It's going to be great. It's going to be a good fucking fantastic match. It's going to be a good match. Oh, it's going to be fun. 205 Live in the next couple of weeks is going to be good.
Yes.
Let's see here. Then we had Enzo and Cass milling about backstage. They walk up on Sheamus and Cesaro. Cesaro, who's enjoying a cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a back and forth where they talk about
who's going to wrestle for the tag titles at WrestleMania.
Cesaro and Sheamus said, you guys choked. Cass said, no, he didn't. I feel differently. I think they did. And so, but they don't really care about what I have to say.
No.
No, they don't. So anyways, yeah, that was, I don't know, it was relatively entertaining. At this point, I was pretty high on, oh, wait a second. Oh, Goldberg came out. I'm sorry. Oh, no, that was backstage.
Yeah, it was backstage.
Trying to read your notes here. After that, we had a Goldberg promo.
Yes.
Goldberg came down. Guarantee you they had that bastard Paul Heyman at the Gorilla waiting to come out at the slightest hint of the CM Punk chance.
I know.
Which it was, came pretty
quick.
It was quick.
Interesting that there was a decent amount of boos for Goldberg.
Yeah, but
when he came out.
They were all chanting Goldberg. To start.
Yeah.
They were all chanting. And then, yeah, and then the Boo Birds came out. And the CM Punk chant started.
And then Heyman came out.
Because in the end, he's Goldberg. In the end, he's Goldberg. He can't wrestle, really. He's like 50 years old. They put this on him for the part-timers match.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago's not going to like that.
No, they you didn't. Know, it didn't seem like they did.
I let myself mark out for Goldberg a little bit.
Like yeah.
Goldberg. He's putting in good work these days.
Yeah, he is. He's doing the best mic work of his entire career. He looks great. He's taking this seriously. I appreciate that.
And I want to rub his little face because he looks like my Turbo boy. Rest in peace, Turbo. RIP 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, then Paul Heyman comes out. As soon as the fans got to see M, they hit Paul Heyman's music.
Yeah. Well, he didn't have music.
Because they're not gonna do that to him.
No.
He doesn't have music?
No, he just comes out and starts talking.
Man, then you start piping in that ECW music.
Okay.
Extreme!
No, I know how it goes.
Championship!
Wrestling!
Anyways, Paul Heyman comes out. The crowd talks with him. And he says, Brock Lesnar's here. Brock Lesnar comes out.
Crowd pops.
Crowd pops because he doesn't love Lesnar. I like that new Lesnar ticket shirt
yeah.
of his.
I wish they sold it with the Jimmy John's logo on it, though.
Man. Oh, I know. Yeah, I know. You know when I had Jimmy John's the other day?
It's a sandwich.
It's like some shit I can make in my own house. It's not really that spectacular. I mean, go check it out for your own.
Yeah, you know, maybe form your own opinion. I had it once. I thought it was pretty good.
Really?
Yeah.
Were you really hungry? Because I think it'd be
I was
really,
really hungry.
Good. Probably really good if you're really
it
hungry.
Was, I was really
they
hungry.
They don't do hot sandwiches there.
Oh, yeah.
That's my problem.
Okay.
I like my shit heated. I like it warm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a time and place for a hot sandwich.
I like my sandwich like I like my women. Warm.
Mm.
Not cold to the touch. Anyways, Lesnar comes out.
Yeah, and Heyman said he wanted to come out here. Heyman said that Lesnar would come out and shake his hand.
Yeah. Lesnar, what would you do if Lesnar offered a handshake to you? Lesnar's terrifying.
I know. I'd do it because I don't want to insult him.
Man, I don't know.
I'm sure he has a really firm handshake too.
Probably does. Probably nightmare. You hear about Trump's handshake? He like grabs you and like brings you in.
Yeah.
If I ever met the president, I'd have to preemptively do that. I'd be like, no, me. I do it.
Oh,
first.
Okay. Yeah.
I do it first. Anyways,
So Lesnar comes out.
Yeah, Lesnar comes out. F5's the living shit out of Goldberg because Heyman called him his biatch.
Yeah.
He said, my client thinks you're a biatch.
Yeah.
And then Goldberg went, wait, what? What did you just say?
Turns towards Heyman. Lesnar takes that opportunity to F5 Goldberg.
He lifted Goldberg. Goldberg didn't.
Oh, yeah. There was no jump.
That
there.
Was a deadlift of a big man.
Yeah.
By a bigger man.
Yeah.
And then Goldberg took big bump.
Yep.
Big bump for Goldberg.
Yep.
I liked about somebody on Twitter mentioned this too. Like Goldberg held on to that Universal title for his life.
Yeah.
He took it up with him, was like, do I drop this?
No, I think he dropped it only when he realized that he was about to get F5'd.
Oh, okay.
Because you don't want to land on it because that'd probably hurt.
Yeah, probably. So.
And then the first thing he did was get the belt back.
Grabbed it like it was his baby.
He prizes that belt.
He does. Good. Elevating the belt. Probably not. I don't know. Like, I don't know. Any belt on any possession of Brock Lesnar's. Is elevated. What young stud is going to take that off of Brock Lesnar? What do you think?
Roman Reigns.
Finn Balor.
It's going to be Roman Reigns, man. I want it to be Samoa Joe, but man, it's going to be...
booed the living shit out of Roman Reigns last night.
It's going to be Roman Reigns.
It's going to be Finn Balor. Let's see here. Yeah, so that happened. And then the club versus Enzo and Cass. Oh, yeah, that's right. Earlier they set that up, that match up. Whoever wins.
Number one contender.
Number one contender.
No, wait, sorry. That was a title match. That was a rematch because...
Oh, they got their rematch. That's because, right. Cesaro and Sheamus came out and then dicked it up.
Because Enzo and Cass said, well, we got screwed out of our win, so we need...
So then Foley set up a match for next week to determine the number one contender.
Yeah, they're all fighting backstage, and then Foley says, okay, next week, Enzo and Cass versus Cesaro and Sheamus. Mm-hmm. Whoever wins that match faces the club at WrestleMania for the tag team titles.
That's just
going
to get dicked up. It's going to be a triple threat. That's going to be a fun match. I'm looking forward to that. There's going to be some fun matches at Mania. I hear some people out there complaining about the Mania card. I think it's going to be a fun match.
Should be fun.
It's going to be a fun card. I think it's going to be better than last year's.
Oh, yeah.
Last year's was fucking horrible.
Yeah, last year's was not good.
No. Then let's see here. What did Stephanie do in this? She just talked some shit to Foley, probably.
What, backstage? I guess. Oh, she just, after he made that match for next week, she comes in the frame
She said, you want to have a nice day? Come to my office. Hello, ladies.
Well, she said it far more stern than that. It sounded like Foley, go to the principal's office, essentially.
Dominatrix type stuff. No, she said, you want to have a nice day? Come to my office. That sounds sexual to me.
But she was so stern.
Yeah.
Okay.
Even better. Is that nudity? Then we had Tozawa, Akira Tozawa.
Yeah.
Versus Daivari.
Another fun match.
Yeah, good match. Then Tozawa went over, Kendrick, he calls out Brian Kendrick. And what's the thing that he does over and over again? Yeah. Is it? Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. 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 Something like that. Anyways, man with a plan comes down, Brian Kendrick, and, says, oh, so you've learned your lesson or you want to learn more lessons or something like that.
Well, Tozawa said, come out here and fight.
Yeah.
And then Kendrick said, well, I'll give you my answer tomorrow on 205 Live. Well,
that's
today.
That's right. Today. Now.
Today. Now.
Then the New Day came out, talked about their ice cream some more. They're pretty funny.
Yeah.
I love them.
They're entertaining.
It kind of depends on the day for me. It's like, this is getting old.
You know, ever since they got their ice cream, bicycle.
Yeah.
They've really been entertaining. I know it's been like two appearances.
Yeah. Big E's really funny.
I know.
Yeah.
And then they made quick work of the Shining Stars.
This was helped also. Yeah, they did. This was helped also by a commentary. Corey Graves is like all in these days. And him and Byron Saxton are having some good back and forth last night. Because Byron Saxton's starting to shoot off a little bit at him. He's starting to like give it back to him.
Yeah.
It's too long. He's been a doormat. He's starting to give it back to him. I like it.
Me too.
It's good. Like you said, New Day took on the Shining Stars, a resident. Talk about doormats. Then we had Bailey and Foley, and Bailey was out in the ring, and Bailey was disappointed because she feels like she didn't win like a champ. No, she was.
She was, but it wasn't like...
She ain't giving the belt back.
No, I know, but it wasn't like... It was like a hint of disappointment, or she kind of felt slightly guilty, but not. It didn't seem like it was enough to really do anything about it.
Yeah, she was just like, I didn't want it to be this way.
But the belt's here, so that's cool.
Yeah, so I'm good with it.
Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Because this is the second week in a row during a Bayley match where the crowd was not into it. Or second show in a row. Because Fastlane, the crowd could seem like they'd care less about the Bayley-Charlotte match.
Fastlane crowd could care about
it. And last night during the Bayley-Sasha match, didn't seem like the crowd really cared either.
Yeah.
Bayley's not connecting with the WWE universe like she was the NXT universe. It seems to me.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to... find a reason why, and b how they could have done things different so they could have forged a better connection. Because in NXT, when she started there, she was kind of like Sami Zayn. She lost a lot, if my memory is correct.
She was a losing wrestler.
She
was a bad wrestler.
But she had heart, and that endeared her to the audience, made a connection. So when she started winning, she started putting everything together. Then she had a really strong connection with the audience. She eventually moved up to the title scene.
Yeah.
Like, what if she came in to the main roster and she's like, okay, I know I was part of the Four Horsemen. I was the last one here. I have to catch up now.
Yeah.
And she had to catch up because everybody else, you know, Charlotte, Sasha, and Becky all had about a year of experience on the main roster.
Mm-hmm.
And what if she just couldn't necessarily catch up to them now that they had that year of experience?
Mm-hmm.
And now, what has been 6 months later?
Yeah.
Has she been the main roster? What if now is finally when she's starting to string wins together?
Yeah, but
the problem is there's no one for her to beat on Raw, essentially. Everybody needs to be protected.
Yeah, but the problem with that is how do you define her during that period of catching up? You mean taking losses?
Yeah, the main roster? Taking losses, yeah.
I don't know about that.
They're not going to do that because they feel like they have to protect her.
I don't know, man. I think in my opinion, the reason Sasha... When the women's revolution thing started, I think people really kind of... I think you start with the wrestling. You start with good wrestling matches.
Mm-hmm.
And with Bayley, there's been way too much milling about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they try to do the thing with her and the other and jobbers. They try to do that, but you're not going to get very far with that. You're not going to get very far with that. Mm-mm. So, man, I don't know. I don't know if she's just more cut out for NXT.
There just doesn't seem to be... I mean...
There's no story. Like, there was... She was brought up kind of hastily because of the Sasha injury.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure that they really had, like, if they had a firm plan for her before that, they weren't able to execute it. But, yeah, I don't know. I think what you're saying, there needed to be a more solid way of building her up than was done. And I think your idea is as good as any. But it didn't really seem like she had that. Because remember when she came up briefly for that one tag match?
Yeah.
Her mystery partner?
Yeah.
Sasha's mystery partner? People really popped for that. People really liked that. But then when she was brought up after Sasha's, or when they thought Sasha might be injured for a while, it was just sort of like a placeholder situation as opposed to like a true call-up.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, look at the Finn Balor treatment, you know? Like, Bayley kind of should have been treated like that a little bit.
Yeah.
Not like, the resident badass coming in.
Yeah.
But given her own, like, sort of story in her
life. I know. I think that was the issue beyond the immediate fallout after SummerSlam. As mm-hmm. you mentioned, that period where she was just kind of taking on jobbers for mm-hmm. a couple weeks.
Yeah.
3-4 weeks. They obviously had nothing for her to do.
Yeah.
And so they just wanted to keep her on TV and have her win.
I think one of the things, like, there's the lack of depth in the women's division on Raw is kind of a big problem.
Yes, it is.
I wonder if she would have benefited being on SmackDown more.
I think so.
Yeah, probably. SmackDown has that feel also that I think probably benefits, I don't know how you'd phrase it, like more colorful characters like Bayley, you know? Because then if you add, like, I think it's kind of our thing about Joe being on Raw also. It's like, yeah, I guess he kind of fits, but it's going to be overloaded with,
I know,
you know, with like guys who kind of, and I hate saying need to be protected, but guys that kind of need to be protected. And yeah, I don't know. I just like, there's too much, like, what are you going to do? Put Asuka on SmackDown. Is Asuka, who is she? Who is she to? She's like going to be,
she's doing some SmackDown house shows.
Yeah. She's probably going to be on SmackDown. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I get what you're saying, but I think that, I don't think she's landing like a turd necessarily.
No. But I know, you know, we heard for a while that she had the potential to kind of be the John Cena of the women's division.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, I didn't expect that to happen immediately.
Yeah.
But just based on her last two matches and the lack of response, it seems, from the stories being told in the match. But yeah. Like the one at Fastlane, her and Charlotte was a good match. The match last night.
That's a hard comparison.
No, I know.
Though.
But like the match
last night was good.
Yeah, but it seemed like the crowd didn't really... wasn't into it.
Yeah, I know, but I wonder if the fact that there was like a 15 fucking minute promo before that was just a lot of people yapping away about nothing. And everybody knows what's going to happen.
I know.
Everybody knows how this is going to play out.
I know.
So, yeah, I don't know. I think it'll be more telling after Mania if Bayley retains at Mania.
Mm-hmm.
If her and Sasha actually get into a real feud.
Yeah.
If they let Sasha, if they sort of revisit things, but on a bigger level.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, that's kind of what I thought they should have done. Granted, Sasha was hurt, but that's kind of what I thought they should have done. They should have had Bayley, have Sasha win the belt last year at Mania, have Sasha, or Bayley come out the Raw after.
Right.
And start building up like a year-long feud between them.
Right.
Off and on for an entire year.
Yeah.
Culminating in heel Sasha versus Bayley at WrestleMania this year.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I think that we'll see after Mania. We'll see. Like,
yeah.
if they put on a really spectacular match at WrestleMania, that's going to help things a lot.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think Bayley is the kind, she is like the Sami Zayn, you know?
It's
like, but But the difference is Sami Zayn isn't being pushed out by all this other talent, like, you know, and Roman Reigns. Bayley is going to have plenty of chance to show.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know. Like, do you think inherently she can connect with the broader audience?
I mean, she's really relatable.
Yeah, I know. I know, but sometimes I think she's too, like, sometimes she just gets, like, too anxious. Like, there's too much anxiety there. You know what I mean? Like, as soon as anybody, like, is confrontational with her, she gets, like, a face on, like, she gets this look on her face like she's going to shit herself. Like, as soon as Stephanie opens her mouth, she's like, she does that thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you want your underdog to sack up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I thought that, like, one of her best moments when she said, hell no, I'm keeping this title, because her saying hell is like a normal person saying fuck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I thought that was like a good moment for her. So more of that, I guess. We had Roman Reigns backstage. Maybe I wasn't paying attention. Maybe it was just because Roman Reigns was on the screen.
He was talking to Charlie, I think, saying, you know, if Braun Strowman wants me, he can find me in the middle of the ring at the end of the night.
Oh, okay.
Main event.
During the main event segment, because I'm in it. Then we had a package about Seth Rollins' rehab.
Yeah.
I sort of didn't even watch this. Like, I feel like I've seen most of it.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, he's already rehab.
But then following that was an interview with Triple H.
Yeah, okay, shit. This is what I meant to watch again, because I was kind of distracted in this. Walk me through this interview. I saw one thing on Twitter that people were saying, this feels like it's directed at CM Punk.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Okay, all right. We'll go through it.
No, I kind of felt like I knew what he was going to say, so I kind of half paid attention.
That's kind of why I half paid attention, yeah.
So it was a situation where he was like, you know, hey, Rollins, if you show up at WrestleMania, this is just kind of paraphrasing, it's the worst idea you'll ever have. You're going to never wrestle again, so on and so forth.
Yeah. Well, good for him. Let's see here. Next up we had, the co-main event. The second main event. Samoa Joe versus Chris Jericho.
This was a pretty good match, except the end felt super rushed.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, leading up to it, I was like, okay, this is cool. It's a little bit back and forth, and then they end up on the outside. Mm-hmm. Joe chokes out Jericho. He passes out. Joe gets back in the ring in time to beat the 10 count. He wins.
Yeah.
I don't mind the finish at all, because it protects both parties.
Yeah, no, I'm fine with the finish.
It just felt really rushed.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. I can see that.
The match didn't seem like it was that long.
Yeah.
But then Joe gets Jericho back in the ring, says to him, okay, now the real punishment begins. Something like that.
And starts to take down his pants.
And then Jericho hits a code breaker.
Oh, yeah, that was cool.
And then Joe leaves the ring.
Yeah.
End of segment.
Yeah. Jericho's like, you're right. It did. Stupid idiot. Anyways, then we had our main event of the night, which featured Braun Strowman walking, sauntering to the ring.
Yeah.
Looking for Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
He gets to the ring and asks for Roman Reigns, and instead, The Undertaker. My legacy. Undertaker comes out and stands
toe-to-toe
with Braun Strowman, and then Braun Strowman very slowly and very hilariously, deliberately, takes one step back and another.
I know.
And another.
And then leaves the ring.
Puts his leg over the rope. I did a whole breakdown of this. Then Braun Strowman puts another leg over the ring, or the rope. Puts one foot down. Another foot down. Looks back at Taker. Walks. Looks back at Taker. Goes into the mills about
it. And then walks through the crowd.
Well, you know why. Because, like, Roman Reigns is going to come down this way.
Yeah.
So he has to go a different way. So Strowman gets basically punked out by The Undertaker.
They cue Undertaker's music as if that was the end of the show.
Right.
No.
This, remember, guys, this is the end of Raw. At the end of Raw, we only get Roman Reigns' music.
Yes.
That's how Raw ends. Roman Reigns' music hits to a chorus of boos. Ooh, people are starting to mark out for Undertaker versus Braun. That's what people want to see.
I know.
I want to see that.
I'd vastly prefer to see that.
I know. And then Roman Reigns comes down.
And, they stand toe to toe. Undertaker looks at the WrestleMania sign.
Yeah.
Reigns looks over his shoulder, sees what Undertaker is looking at.
Mm-hmm.
While he does that, Undertaker chokeslams the shit out of him.
Well, Roman Reigns, he says something first. Then he, like, got on the mic first.
Oh, he's like, this is my yard now.
My yard, big dog, the guy. No.
Dead guy,
the guy, my yard. You know. I've been told to say all this stuff.
Yeah.
Undertaker. Yeah. While Roman Reigns looks away, Undertaker chokeslams the shit out of him.
So that match confirmed.
And then did Roman Reigns' music pop back on?
No, Undertaker's did. Yeah, Undertaker's music did. He did a really slow, dramatic exit.
Mm-hmm. Very Undertaker-ish exit.
Yeah.
End show. I don't know. I thought you know what, in terms of selling us on Mania, I was fine with it. I thought it was good.
I just wonder if that's going to be their only interaction between now and Mania.
Probably. It's going to be a bunch of video vignettes between now and then. Undertaker doesn't show up, man. He's got a train.
I know. Well, he's got a bad hip. Traveling might be an issue.
He shouldn't be.
Should have ended with the end of an era match.
He really should have. He hasn't done anything better since then.
No.
Or remotely good since then. All right. Well, let's answer some questions.
Yes.
People have questions for us, Larson.
We should answer them immediately.
We're going to answer them immediately. All right. Hold on a second. I need to get to the questions now. Okay. Go posts. And remember, everything from like the $1 mark.
Yeah, nice. Oh.
I saw that earlier.
If you're a patron, you can ask questions.
Even if you're a non-patron, you can ask questions.
Yeah, the odds are better that if you're a patron, your question will
be
answered.
On the show, anyways. A lot of times I'll hop on the Twitter.
And then for Dirt Sheet, I'll go through our Twitter and see if there's any questions, usually.
Absolutely. All right, we're going to start off here. With the Empire of Filth's official Nikki Cross sex fighter, Justin Engel. I don't know what any of that stuff means. You guys are crazy out there. Crazy. Let's see here. Do you think Goldberg-Lesnar could have been more compelling had Lesnar actually managed some offense during their first match and appeared to be a viable threat the entire time?
No, I think their first match went probably exactly how it should have gone.
Mm-hmm.
Would have been more interesting, I think, if Lesnar had shown a little more offense during the Rumble. I think when during that their exchange, we're expecting an exchange.
Yeah.
Where they would stand toe to toe and fight a little bit, but it wasn't like that.
Yeah, I'm actually okay with it. I just wasn't really okay with the Goldberg Kevin Owens thing.
Yeah.
I think like they could have done something far more creative and still not have Goldberg have to do much.
I know.
You know what I mean?
I know.
So that's my main problem with it. We all know what Brock Lesnar can do.
Yeah.
We all know that he's terrifying.
Yes.
Like he offered his hand, like a handshake offer is terrifying because Brock, he has that look on his face, that half smile, like he wants to eat you.
Mm-hmm.
God, man, I don't want to be anywhere near that guy.
No.
I purposely did not even try to interview him at SummerSlam because that's how much he terrifies me.
Yeah.
I know he's not going to do anything to me. Man, he's fucking terrifying. I don't want him looking at me. I don't want him to know who I am.
Mm-mm.
At all.
No.
Stay away from me, Brock Lesnar. Shinsuke belongs on SmackDown Live. That's the name of this person. I can't believe you just had me. That was a trick. He had me say that. Goodness gracious. He's a first-time patron here.
Thank you very much.
He's already trolling me. Thank you very much, Shinsuke belongs on SmackDown Live. He did it again.
Yeah.
Damn it. He's wondering, with the Cruiserweight division finally picking up momentum, what are three non-Cruiserweights on NXT or the main roster that you'd like to see join the division? I'm assuming he means guys who are of Cruiserweight.
Yeah.
Cruiserweight.
Yeah, but currently are not in the Cruiserweight division officially.
Correct. Yeah.
So in NXT or on the main roster?
Is Roderick Strong a Cruiserweight? I don't think I want to see him on... He's not really like a... He's like a brawler. I want Cruiserweights who can like do flippy crap, flippy stuff. Crazy flippy stuff. Lucha shit.
Hideo Itami.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Three, he said?
Tres. Andrade Cien Almas.
I thought about that, too.
Somebody mentioned that here in the comments, too.
Dolph.
Really?
Yeah, he needs a fresh start. He needs a bit of a reset.
I agree, but in my opinion, that would just kind of make 205 Live a dumping ground. Like, I don't want it to be a dumping ground. I feel like Dolph is trash now. He's going to be dumped off on places.
He's not very good.
You know where Dolph would fit in perfectly?
Where?
TNA. That's an Impact Wrestling. That's a dumping ground.
Yeah, you can't call it TNA anymore.
I can.
It's not its official name.
Trash nonstop action. Alberto El Patreon is going to be showing up this Thursday, apparently.
Yes.
What a clusterfuck.
Well, don't spoil anything. People might not read the spoilers, man.
Fuck, I'm going to bleep that out. Sorry for people in the live stream. No, it's not a spoiler, though. I don't think they're using that.
I don't know.
I don't think they're actually using that.
I don't know.
Because, like, the very next taping, they completely act like it didn't happen.
I understand.
I'd be so confused. I'd be like, what's going on?
Yeah.
I'm confused.
Yeah.
Anyways, there you go. There's three. Kenny Oshmegma Naferetti. That's disgusting.
That's gross.
That's nasty.
That's gross.
It's your problem. These patrons, man, they're killing me right now, but they give me money, so I'm happy.
It's true.
Let's see here. Seeing Braun in his entrance into the ring reminded me of something. He is that he is at that awkward height where he needs to decide to go through the ropes like a normal wrestler or hurt his dick by going over the top rope. That's a good point. Which other wrestlers suffered from the awkwardness being between two different body types? I do. I'm between large and extra large. I'm too fat for a large, but I'm not fat enough for an extra large.
Well, it's just certain shirts, though, right?
Certain shirts, yeah. Like, this one is great. This is a... This is a Anvil.
Oh, okay.
But it's a Anvil changed up their shit.
Yeah.
And now the new Anvils I can't stand. Like, our Going In Raw Patreon shirts. Like, I look buff in the large, but then, like, I also look kind of pregnant. The extra large is just, I'm swimming in it, man. I'm in the ocean of shirts.
You're so particular about your t-shirts. I don't think I've ever met anybody so particular about their t-shirts.
Yeah, man. Well, you know my deepest, darkest. You know what I mean? And that's a deep, dark of mine.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, now everybody else knows.
Yeah.
Anyways, other wrestlers.
So wrestlers are kind of in that 6'8", 6'9", area.
How tall is Big Cass, you think? Cass, they
bill him to 7 foot.
He clears it. I think he said that his shoot is like his actual height is 6'9", I want to say.
I mean, when we met him, he's pretty tall.
Oh, he's a really tall guy.
Super tall.
Yeah, but I'm not, you know, compared to me, he is.
Yeah.
You know.
'Cause they bill Braun as 6'8", I believe.
I feel like he gets over okay.
Yeah.
But what about Baron? Baron can't be a legit 7-footer.
No, they don't bill him as that.
He doesn't go through. Does he go over the ropes?
I don't remember.
Me neither. I'll have to check it out tonight.
I think they bill him as 6'7".
And he's got them little, those like super skinny jeans. I wonder if it rubs the balls.
The ropes, you mean?
Yeah, and it gets his like...
I would think so.
Gets his lowers going. Engorged.
Oh, I thought you were talking about like chafing.
Oh, going? No, going isn't chafing. I just say chafing. Let's see here. Empire of Filth sign guy. Drew R. His question is a little off the wall. Uh-oh. If you can give any former superstars theme music to anyone on the current roster, which two do you swap? He says he would give Batista's I Walk Alone to Baron Corbin since he is the lone wolf. And, of course, because Baron Corbin. I would give Roman Reigns' music to Baron Corbin because it sounds like they're saying Baron Corbin.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Baron
that's
Corbin.
Good. That's real good.
Because Baron Corbin. That's why. Baron. Who would you give to who?
I'm thinking.
I'd give Alberto Del Rio's theme song to Andrade Cien Almas. Because I don't even know what Andrade Cien Almas' theme is. You like how like I've learned to say his name like off perfectly now?
I know. You had a problem with that at first.
For the longest time.
Yeah.
Up until like last week.
I know. It was weird.
Yeah.
Baron
Corbin.
Because that's a good answer.
Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin.
I was trying to think of somebody to give Sting's old theme song to.
I don't even know what the one man with the called Sting.
Yeah, the one with the lyrics, yeah.
Man called Steve.
That's a little too specific.
To me.
Okay, but you're not a wrestler.
Man called Steve.
I'll think about that some more.
All right, next up.
Next.
Jason the Cabbie. Well, immediately, I disagree with Jason's premise here. He says, given that it was kind of a weak show.
It was a pretty decent show.
The only thing I'm wondering this week is, other than whether or not Enzo is ever going to fuck the Georgia Gold Chicken, is why the hell does everyone keep pointing at the sign when they say WrestleMania? And am I crazy for being so annoyed by it? I think Jason lets the frustrations of his outside life seep into his opinion on Raw.
Could be.
Because that's just a normal thing, Jason. That's what people do.
I know.
I feel like Jason on the outside is like the most mellow dude.
Yeah.
But on the inside, I think he's like a seething pot of rage.
Could be.
He gets so rage-filled on Twitter, but then you see his video question, he's like, hey, what's going on, everybody?
Yeah.
And associated friendos, this is Jason the Cabbie.
Yeah.
I would love him as my cabbie. I don't know. This is everybody does that.
Everybody
man.
Does it.
You're going to WrestleMania. You pointed the sign.
Yeah.
It's what you do.
Yeah, it's what you do.
It's what you dream about.
Yeah.
When you're down there in NXT. Let's see here. Fat bastard champ Alex Foster. You think you guys think a stable can be made of both heels and faces? Isn't chaos is all over the map.
Yeah, chaos is all over the map.
Oh man, hold on. Damn, I thought I had a big stomach growl on deck.
Oh, okay.
Oh yeah, it's churning.
I had an idea. Man. I have an idea for a theme swap.
Okay, go ahead.
Sanity would get a Bad Street USA. And then Michael P.S. Hayes have to come out trying to dance to Sanity's theme.
Oh, that'd be great. That's the greatest shit I've ever heard in my life. Oh, man. I need to make that custom entrance in 2K because all the players... No, Sanity's not there. Oh, man. That'd be great. I got to look at Michael Hayes' DLC entrance. I got to see what he looks like if he's actually doing this.
Yeah.
Do you think they have this going on in the fucking 2K17?
They could.
Man, they need to. Let's see here.
Anyways, what was the question?
A stable that could be made of both heels and faces. Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Chaos.
Yeah.
NW, like the original NWO.
I mean, Bullet Club is kind of now. Kenny Omega, I mean, he's not officially a face, but he gets face reaction.
You can't not.
Same with the Young Bucks.
The bromance between him and the Bucks and
Adam Cole,
baby.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Now Cody Rhodes. You don't love Cody.
I know. Cody's great.
Yeah. Brown, brown, brown. Bullet Club for life. Extreme
Championship
Wrestling.
Wrestling.
Oh, man. Empire Filth. I'm not going to read this, people. What is with this weird subculture? The Empire Filth. Who are these people?
I have no idea.
Who are these disgusting human beings? Permeating our chat room, 61 people, and they're all like, Jason the Cabbie. You're all disgusting human beings. Justin England. I'm joking. I love all you guys.
Read the question.
Oh, yeah. Read the question. So with Braun falling victim to the Roman Reigns push train, then backing down to Taker on Raw, just where do you see the next few months taking him? They have a legit monster able to put on great hard-hitting matches, and they just keep on seeming to drop the ball on him. Okay, I meant to mention this yesterday. So somebody on Twitter, I forget who, said, they're burying Braun. I don't think that's the case, but I definitely think they're not entirely sure.
They're pumping the brakes on his push.
I don't know if they really know what to do with Braun at this point. This is a case. Can you imagine Braun headed to SmackDown?
That'd be great. Although I'd worry there might be too much overlap between him and Corbin.
Why? Because Baron Corbin. That's the only reason why I said that.
Yeah, I know.
No, I kind of agree with that. I kind of agree. We'll do a swap. Get Baron over to Raw. Spectre Grimm makes a good point here. And not only can he put on hard-hitting matches... He's athletic as fuck.
I know, every week.
That was the cool spot that he did during the Fastlane match.
Oh, the top rope spot?
Top rope shit.
Yeah.
That was cool. Although they didn't let him hit it.
I know.
The only debut that move, you hit it.
I know.
Man, why didn't I bitch about that the other day? He's going to win the Andre the Giant Battle Royal.
Yeah, he'll win the Battle Royal.
Which, at this point, I'm not going to say it's beneath him necessarily, but it's kind of beneath him.
It is, but... And granted, it's the record on those who have won it hasn't necessarily always been stellar. I mean, Cesaro won it, and they seemed like they were going to push him, and then it went nowhere.
Yeah, but Cesaro's he's
a former tag team champion.
Cesaro's a tough cookie there. Baron Corbin won it.
Yeah.
And the Big Show won the first one, right?
Second one, I think.
Was it the second one?
Or was it the first one? I thought Cesaro won the first one.
Maybe it was Cesaro. And then, yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. You're right.
Okay.
No, I don't know. It makes me think, kind of like we saw with Enzo and Cass, sometimes guys just need to be in a limbo until you can figure out what to do with them. Mm-hmm. And I figure like they might be thinking, man, like we're solid on him winning the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, so we don't have a whole lot for him to do between now and then, and something has to give given that Vince's marching order seems to be push Roman at any cost.
I know. I just kind of wish for the finish of the Fastlane match. I mean, Roman went through a table.
Mm-hmm.
Have something like that happen to Braun.
Yeah.
four spears.
Yeah, I know.
And
I know.
Then you pin.
I know.
Instead of just a couple Superman punches and a couple spears.
I'm totally okay with Braun losing clean to Roman. I'm totally fine with that. Like, that's just the card we've been dealt. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it.
Just make it believable.
Make him earn it.
Yeah.
You could have put both guys over so hardcore in that match. You could have done that. Four spears on Braun Strowman. It takes four spears to pin him. That's perfect. No. Didn't work.
Didn't do it.
Manuel Garcia de Paredes. What are the actual chances that WWE makes Roman Reigns beat The Undertaker at Mania? What are your odds right now? Are they trying to set the record for the most boos at WrestleMania? Or will the boo, like, WrestleMania's a casual crowd. Are the boobers going to come out for Roman?
Yeah, because the casual fans still love The Undertaker.
Undertaker. That's a good point.
I'm going to say right now it's a 65% chance Roman wins.
65. So you're okay. So you're half.
Because I'm assuming it's probably going to be Undertaker's last match. If he needs a hip replacement.
Man, he is so old. And that's going to be his last match. I was thinking about this last night, though. And this is a stupid thought to have. But I thought anyways. Because I'm not above having stupid thoughts, dude. 3 years from now, you think Roman's going to be over? You think they're ever going to get to where they want to be with Roman Reigns?
As top face of the company?
Yeah.
Cena levels?
Yeah.
No. I don't think he has... I mean, he's a hard worker in the ring. In the ring, he's got charisma.
Mm-hmm.
His mic skills just aren't up to Cena levels.
Yeah, nobody does.
He needs that.
Yeah.
If they're going to if they're looking to replicate that level of success with Reigns that they had with Cena, I mean, Cena is a once in a generation talent.
Yeah, I know. Because my point is, 15 years from now, will you have wanted The Undertaker in his last match? You have Roman Reigns available. Why not pull the trigger on that? Like, oh man, Undertaker was around when Roman Reigns was around. They never fought.
Yeah.
What a bummer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even though right now it's hugely unpopular.
Yeah.
I guess that's a case for going through with it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And if it kickstarts...
Not a great case,
If though. It kickstarts a Roman heel turn and they start doing something interesting with him, sure.
That's a massive if, though.
I know.
I would love it. Massive if.
Yes.
A couple more questions here.
Yes.
The Shit Twins advocate, Alexander Carenti. I think I owe him a postcard. I have like a bunch of $10 patron postcards just sitting out there ready to go. They're addressed and stamped. I just need to take them and put them in the mail. And I think I sent him the wrong name on his.
Oops.
Ooh. Anyways, I think that was him. Could be wrong. You have to suspend a lot of belief in pro wrestling, according to Alexander Carenti. But I can't help but wonder where the common sense is. Why would Randy give up his shot just to try to get it back? Why would AJ be the heel for earning a shot and not getting it? Why would Charlotte help Sasha and turn into a triple threat? Why would Braun back down? He's 385 pounds of go fuck yourself. I love that phrase. He says, what do you guys think is going on? Is Vince in a panic about Mania or just out of touch?
I don't think, the way the commentators called it last night, it wasn't that Charlotte helped Sasha. They said that Sasha pushed off Charlotte to get Bayley back to the middle of the ring in the bank statement.
Okay.
So I think Charlotte was going in there, the way the commentators were putting it, Charlotte was going in there to break up the submission hold.
I think the broader point about heels and faces acting like heels.
I know.
I think that's a valid one.
Oh, it is. It definitely is.
And I don't know what that is. I there's a part of me that, yeah, thinks that it's Vince. I hate doing this. I hate applying it all to Freebird Vince. You see Vince has the Freebird vest?
Oh, I didn't.
He's got the Freebird vest on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Freebird Vince. I think it's a matter of, if I were to speculate, Vince misunderstanding or misconstruing tweener behavior, like Stone Cold type behavior, for what is like sort of reality.
Yeah.
Like Shane, like it's okay for AJ to get screwed over time and time again because he's arrogant. And it's okay for Shane to act like a total asshole because people still pop for Shane. But when you really think about the logic of it all, it doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
And it doesn't really help their storylines.
No, it makes them needlessly convoluted.
Yeah. So I think there is a measure of being out of touch that is sort of getting in the way of logical storytelling.
Yes.
Because who would say, yeah, you totally burned down this guy's house. People pop for Bray Wyatt. People like Bray Wyatt. He's like a true tweener because he doesn't really do like heel things. You know what I mean?
I mean, he
exists as a character, and you judge him based on his actions. Well, that's the best kind of character.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say he cheats to win, but he really doesn't.
No, he doesn't.
He just, you know, sometimes he'll have the family beat people up.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's as heel as it gets.
But, man, they had him win fair and square 2 times.
Yep.
And they're booking the shit out of that Sister Abigail move of his.
Yes.
So they're having Randy Orton do criminal things.
Oh, yeah.
But because he's Randy Orton, it's okay. And Bray never really even put Randy through the ringer. You know what I mean? Like, okay, so he had Luke Harper help him out to get a win.
Yeah.
At the end of No Mercy.
Yeah. I know Randy seemed to join the Wyatt family pretty soon.
Yeah. Like, he didn't have to get to the breaking point in order to join the family. He was like, oh, man, I took a loss. The odds are stacked against me. I'm just going to do this. Now, I'm not really going to try to fight my way through this. I'm just going to go ahead and do this.
Because his master plan was just to break up the family from within.
Yeah. But, like, injury did that kind of to Eric Rowan.
Yes.
In the first place.
Yeah.
And then Luke Harper's milling about kind of did that in the second place.
Yeah, it still really wasn't well explained, if at all.
This is really, like, this is a storyline that, like, we've been totally cool with because it's had enough twists and turns, and it's been like, oh, the performance has been really good.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And SmackDown, which has kind of a fresher vibe to it.
Yeah.
And they've done some cool things, like had Randy Orton's eyes glows.
Yeah, I know.
Glow.
Seemed like he learned how to teleport.
Didn't they do like a mirror spot?
Yeah, where the his image.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they did. They totally did.
Warped and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know, man. A couple more questions here. Skip around a little bit. Tom Murphy, quick question. If you guys had to set up 2 wrestlers on a blind date, who would they be?
Oh, good question.
Tom Murphy says he'd go with the Great Khali and Sasha Banks. This is a good one. Manuel Garcia de Paredes says Nikki Cross and Jack Gallagher.
Oh, that's interesting.
I like that one.
That's good.
That's a good one. I'm going to say similarly, I'll say Eric Young and Alexa Bliss.
I was going to say Charlotte.
She would be so grossed out by him.
Charlotte and Alexander Wolf.
She would be so confused. Anybody with Alexander Wolf would be so confused. Good thing he found sanity, because he is the most confusing individual I've ever seen in my life. What a weirdo. Total weirdo. Oh, I like this. This is good. Stardew Valley, number one contender. The Uncanny Iron Fish says, so Vince tells you he was hugged by someone he did not want to be hugged by, and therefore Bayley must now be a heel. How would you go about booking that for Bayley?
She hugged me. I told you not to hug me.
They would give her the Titus O'Neil punishment because he did the same thing.
Oh yeah,
like this, and then he got punished for a year.
I know.
She would go around looking for friends, and people would shit on her just for that.
Yeah.
And she somehow would be the heel.
I know.
Yeah. It's good.
All right. Are you ready, Steve?
Oh, man. It's time to go. All right. Time for Kayfabe Corner. You are hungry.
I am
time
hungry.
For Kayfabe Corner.
Very hungry.
I'm up by how much?
I'm up by...
3.
1.
No. 1?
2. I'm up by 2.
You're
sorry.
Up by 2.
Up by 2.
But today, like, evens up.
Yes.
Okay. So,
you saw the vote this week was between the newly announced Hall of Fame...
He's in the wall!
...inductee, Rick Rude.
Who I'm assuming won.
Oh, yeah.
Big time.
Oh, yeah.
He's in the wall.
When I first checked after I put it up, Larry Zbyszko had not gotten a vote.
Oh, the living legend, Larry. Larry.
So it was between Rick Rude and Larry Zbyszko. Rude won. Are you ready?
Yeah, the ravishing one.
Number 1.
Okay.
Dale Wolf.
Fake.
Real.
Mm.
2. Mm. Damian DeFalco.
Damian DeFalco. Fake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
3. Rusty Riddle.
Rusty Riddle?
Yes.
Rusty Riddle?
Yes.
Fake.
Real.
Okay.
4. Angel Leone.
Fake.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hold on. 5. Billy Allen.
Billy Allen.
Yes.
Fake.
Yes.
Okay.
6. Brady Boone.
Brady, that was a good name. I'll say real.
Yeah. Okay. Seven, Chris Bassett.
Chris Bassett.
Yes.
Fake.
Real. Eight, Jake Milliman.
Fake.
Real.
Really?
Yeah.
There's a guy named Milliman?
Milliman, yeah.
Milliman. Jake Milliman. What announcer wants to say that name?
I know. Nine.
Ladies and gentlemen, in this corner, weighing in at 205 pounds, Jake Milliman.
Nine. Casey Gordon.
Casey Gordon. Fake.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ten.
Yeah.
Tim Yates.
Tim Yates. Ooh, that's a good name. Real.
Yeah.
Okay.
11. Mm. Tony Bianca.
Oh, what a great name, but I'm going to say fake.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, last one, 12. JJ Funk.
JJ Fake.
Real.
Real?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I got seven anyways.
All right, two questions. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Who did Rick Rude team with in his final wrestling match?
Ooh, good question. Can I ask a question?
Okay.
Was this the match that he got injured in?
No.
Okay. Chris Candido.
Tommy Dreamer and the Sandman.
Fuck, okay.
Second question. Who did Rick Rude feud with when he was first brought to the WWF?
Coco Beware.
Paul Orndorff.
I'm glad you say it correctly now. Well, I got seven, so I'm up on you by five. Five.
It's yeah. Not, yeah. It's not, you had a great opportunity to really pad that lead.
I really could have stuck it to you.
And you really did.
It was a good list this week.
It was a good
that
list.
That was a very good list. Seven is good.
Yeah.
Not great.
No.
But against that list, I'm happy. Because it was a good list. Anyways, we've got a bonus episode coming up, so we're going to do that right now. I want
yeah.
to say thank you to everybody for tuning in, checking us out, and hitting that download subscribe button. And until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.